Good morning. Welcome to the Vineyard. My name's David. I'm one of the pastors here. We are so glad that you've decided to worship with us this morning, whether you are in the room or you are online. Welcome in. You know, during worship just a minute ago, I had a moment of thankfulness, just hearing everyone singing and thinking, wow, this place has changed over the last month or so. And I'm so grateful that we have this place that we can come and be together. And I'm so grateful that we have an awesome worship team that leads us so well into the presence of God. We really are blessed in so many ways, and that is so evident to me during our services and as I get to gather with you all in whatever form we are able to gather. You know, it was not that long ago, the last time I spoke, I was speaking to mostly an empty room and some of my pretend friends who were sitting in the audience. And so now it is so nice to look out and see all of you and hear your praises. It is just so filling to me, and I hope that it is a blessing to you as well. And so today, we are going to continue worshiping God, and we are going to learn from His Word today. We're going to be in Genesis 32. Genesis 32, you can turn there now in your Bible or your smartphone app or wherever you're accessing today. And while you're doing that, I want to take a moment, and I just want to thank those of you who choose to give to God through VC. You know, there are so many ways to give. Those ways will be on your screen online, or they'll be behind me. And there's so many easy ways to give, but what I really want to say is I want to say thank you to those of you who give, because it really does make a difference each and every day. I want you to know that ministry has never stopped and will never stop here as long as God continues to do what He does through Vineyard Church North Phoenix. And so when you give, you are a part of this life change that's happening. You are a part of us being a light to our community. So thank you for choosing to give out of the goodness of your heart. We just thank you. We're so grateful to be a part of what God is doing in every way. All right, we're going to get in the message in just a minute. Let's pray for the offering and pray for the message. We'll get into it, all right? God, we thank you for today. And Lord, I thank you for allowing us to be here and worship you freely. I thank you, Lord, that we are able to gather and sing, that we are able to gather and worship you in all the different ways you've enabled us to worship. And God, today as we open your word, God, I pray that you just begin to soften our hearts right now to what you have for us today. Lord, that we come with a heart of expectancy for you to speak into our life through your word. And so, Lord, would you fill me with your spirit today as I speak? Not my words, but your words, Lord. And if there's something I haven't prepared, Lord, would you set it on my heart so that I can say it, so I can speak exactly what you'd have me speak today? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So today we are talking about wrestling. Wrestling. Now, I was born in the mid to late 80s, so I grew up mostly in the 90s. And so when I hear the word wrestling, I think of professional wrestling. You know, I think of like WWE, WWF, WrestleMania, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm talking about, right? Like a lot of really, let's just call them like buff people chasing after each other with chairs and sweating and yelling and doing all the stuff, right? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Some of you do. Some of you are afraid to admit that you know what I'm talking about, but you know what I'm talking about. Professional wrestling. And now I want to start out with just a moment of honesty. I just want to be honest with you. I want to level with you. I want to present something to you. And it's with a heavy heart that I present this to you, but I feel like I have to say it. Professional wrestling is not real. I'm sorry. I know I was shocked last week when I figured it out too. It was devastating. So I can imagine how some of you are feeling right now. But here's the thing about wrestling, right? When we talk about professional wrestling, I mean, there are certain elements of athleticism and realness to it. But you know that there is a huge difference between the show of wrestling and the real deal. Like, have you ever seen two people actually try to fight or wrestle one another? If you have, you know it looks nothing like it does on TV. Because when two people wrestle or fight each other, there's no walkout music, right? There's no pyrotechnics. There's no microphones. There is hopefully no spandex involved. Real wrestling. Real wrestling is not glamorous. It is very rarely pretty. In fact, it's pretty clumsy. And it looks exhausting. It is definitely not much to look at. But here's the thing. Real wrestling is real. Real wrestling is reality. And reality is not always pretty. And so today, I want to go through maybe one of the strangest wrestling matches in all of history. Because we all wrestle from time to time. We wrestle with our wants and our desires. We wrestle with our ethics and morality. We wrestle with ideas and ideologies. And most importantly, we wrestle with God. And so as we look at this passage today, what we're going to see is that God invites us to wrestle with him. He invites us to contemplate and to clarify what he thinks about us and how we should think about him and how knowing those things, how having an understanding of those things can truly change our lives. The truth is, and many of you know this, our faith walk is not always a walk in the park, but God can handle it. He can handle our hard questions, and he can handle our unfaithfulness in our struggle. So as we see today, it's going to take some wrestling from time to time to get us from where we are right now to where God is trying to lead us. And so let's set up the passage today. Again, we're going to be in Genesis 32. We're looking at a story of a man named Jacob. Now, this isn't the first time we've met Jacob in the book of Genesis. Jacob has this famous story where he stole his older brother's blessing. And so this blessing was based on birth order. And so Esau, his older brother, was supposed to receive the blessing from their father, Isaac. But Jacob tricked his father Isaac into giving him the blessing. And so this blessing was meant for Esau, but it was stolen by Jacob. Interestingly enough, the name Jacob actually means supplanter. And a supplanter is something or someone that wrongfully takes the place of another. And that is exactly what Jacob did. Needless to say, Esau wasn't particularly thrilled about his brother's identity theft. And so he promises to get revenge. He promises that he will kill Jacob because of what he has done. But before Esau could do that, Jacob fled to live a life on the run, far away. And so leading up to our passage today, after years of laboring for his uncle Laban, Jacob decided to return home. And a meeting with his once angry brother loomed in the near future. And so Jacob was rightfully afraid. He was afraid that his past was going to catch up with him, that his brother was going to make right on what he said he was going to do, that he'd kill Jacob. And so as he neared Canaan, as he neared his homeland, he sent messengers out ahead of him to take kind of a temperature of how his brother was feeling. And his messengers returned to him and they said, Esau is not waiting for you. No, Esau's coming out to you. Oh, and one small detail, he's bringing 400 of his soldiers along with him. Needless to say, Jacob did not find this to be the welcoming party he was hoping for. And so in a panic, Jacob begins to scramble to protect his assets, to do everything he can in order to lessen the blow that he feared his brother might be delivering very soon. And so he splits his family into kind of two groups or two camps. He splits all of his assets together, hoping that if Esau sends his 400 men on one group, the other group may still escape, that he somehow, his family line may live on. And then we see Jacob say this prayer in verse 11. He says this, save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me. and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, I will surely make you prosper and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. Jacob's prayer is the prayer of a desperate man. Jacob admits that he's afraid, that he does not know what else to do. And he even reminds God of a promise that he made. He's saying, God, remember? Remember what you said? Remember? Can you hear the doubt? Can you hear the desperation in this prayer? And he goes on, and he goes on to send some gifts and some messengers out to Esau, hoping to lessen the blow of what his brother is going to do, maybe to bribe him out of killing him and his family and taking all of his assets. See, Jacob came to this point where he did all that he could do, all he could do to prepare for the moment, all that he could do to face what he knew would eventually happen. But eventually, he totally ran out of ideas. He neared the end of his own capabilities. Jacob was in the midst of a crisis out of control, a situation that he knew he no longer had power over. And I know that there are people in this room that have felt the same way. I know I have. And so I always think of this in relation to those times in my life when I felt in crisis. And so that's where we pick up today. Pick up today in verse 22 of chapter 32, Jacob wrestles with God. That night, Jacob got up and he took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. Jacob was left alone. Could you underline that if you have a Bible or you're following along the notes? Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" But he then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. And so Jacob had this experience with God, and it changed him. What we need to notice here is that Jacob's circumstances were the same, but his outlook had changed. You see, the truth is, God doesn't always change our circumstances, but he will shape our attitudes about our circumstances. Notice that this change, it took struggle. And Jacob's struggle led him to a new strength. Because here's the truth. In the struggle, we get stronger. In the struggle, we get stronger. I mean, think about it. If you want to grow your muscles, you need to expose it to some kind of weight, some kind of resistance. If you are trying to build your physical endurance, you need to expose your heart and your lungs to some strain. You can't strengthen your mind without exposing it to some intellectual or emotional stress or challenges. And you certainly can't strengthen your faith without addressing your doubt. Because strength is built in the struggle. You know, I'm guessing at some point, most of you have learned to swim. And maybe if you have children, you've had the pleasure of teaching your own children to swim. You know, I have two children. My daughter, Caroline, is 7, and my son, Carson, is 4. And so when Caroline was around 4 years old, she learned to swim very easily. She was like a fish. My son is 4, so early this summer we began to get him to swim, and he took to water more like a cat. Have you ever seen a cat fall into a body of water? That's my son. He was not a happy camper when he became wet. He did not like the water. In fact, he was mostly terrified of it. But at the beginning of this summer, my wife and I, we were both determined to get him to go swimming, to enjoy pool time together. Everyone's in the pool but you, bud. Hop in. That was not working. And so I had a strategy. So every time we would swim, I would call my son over to the side of the pool, and I would pick him up, and I would look at him, and I would say, sink or swim, little buddy, and I would throw him in. I couldn't figure out why I hated swimming. I'm just kidding. I never did that to my son, all right? So, everyone put down your phones. Don't be calling the authorities on me. That did not happen. Okay, time for the real strategy, the real secret sauce, okay? And so what I would do is I would actually pick him up, lovingly, of course. I'd pick him up, and he'd wrap his arms around my neck and wrap his legs around my waist. And I'd begin to go into the water. And I always knew when his foot would hit the water because his arms would start to vice grip my neck. He would start to give me like a little bit of a blood choke. I started to, you know, see dots sometimes. But I could always tell when he was beginning to feel the water. And so, as we would get deeper into the water, his grip would grow tighter and tighter, and he'd begin to ask me to not make him do it, to not get in the water. Dad, can we get out of the water? Can we get out? Can you put me on the side? I don't want to do this. And so I'd have to continually reassure him. I'd say, son, I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you down. You need to trust me here. And I knew that this was going to be a struggle. I knew that he was going to put up a fight, but I knew that the struggle would be worth it if he would just trust me. Because as his father, I could see what he couldn't see. I could see that he would love to swim if you'd just get outside of his comfort zone. And I have to tell you, this fight, this wrestling, went on for some time. My strategy didn't change, but this fight went on for some time. And after a few weeks of wrestling with him and after some swim lessons, Carson began to give swimming a try. And it wasn't too much longer, and Carson, my son, had discovered why I had put him through so much in the first place. See, these days, Carson loves to swim. It's one of his favorite activities next to riding his bike and playing with Legos. He loves to swim. At some point, Carson learned that I wasn't trying to get him to swim because I was angry with him, or I wanted to see him struggle, or I wanted him to be uncomfortable. It's because I wanted him to see the joy that lay on the other side of his struggle and fear. And so as the fear subsided, he could see what I was trying to show him all along. Now, I tell you that story because there was some real wrestling going on between what my son was comfortable with and what I knew he would enjoy on the other side of the struggle. But see, to get him to this point, to get him to that point, as his father, I had to wrestle with him. I had to push him a little bit. Likewise, God is doing this with us all the time. God is our Heavenly Father, and he sees not just where we are, but he sees where we're headed. He sees the other side of our struggles, the other side of our fears. God is constantly maturing us as we follow him, and he is never done until our last breath. And remember this, as Christians, the goal of our life is not to be comfortable. The goal of our life is to be more like Christ. And that's not always easy. That's not always comfortable or popular. But the point is, we wrestle with God, and it is necessary for that to happen in order for us to get from where we are to where God is leading us. God wrestled with Jacob. He wrestled with him to redeem him and to do something new in him. And God wants to wrestle with you. He wants to redeem you, and he wants to do something new in you. And so as Christians, wrestling with God is necessary as God develops us into who he is calling us to be. So, practically speaking, how do we do this? How do we wrestle well as we walk in faith? Well, let's look back at the story of Jacob wrestling with God for our application today. The first thing we must do to wrestle well is we must be honest. We must be honest. Jacob had this moment of honesty. Honesty with himself and honesty with God. Jacob was in this season of stress. He probably feared he would lose it all, including his own life. And he had done everything he could think of to prevent what he feared was going to happen. And in that moment, he realized the end of himself. He realized his own limitations. In verse 24, it said that Jacob was left alone. I had you underline that, alone. Jacob had sent his wives across and his servants and the rest of his possessions across the river. He was left alone. There was nowhere else for Jacob to go. No one to distract him, nothing to pull him away. He was just left with the reality of his situation. And notice that it's once he was alone that the wrestling began. His reality had been clearly seen. And he was able to take an honest look at himself. And that is when God engages with him in this wrestling. Because here's the thing. Honesty is the starting point of change. Honesty is the starting point of change. Think about addicts. What is the first step to sobriety? Admitting there is a problem, right? If you go to the counselor's office and they say, well, what seems to be the problem? You go, nothing. No problem here. I'm fine. There's nowhere to go, right? The counselor's going to be like, well, we're done here. Because you clearly cannot identify any problem, that you are not the problem, so we can move on, right? For those of us who are Christians, God drew you to himself by creating a moment of honesty where you realize your need for Jesus. And it was a moment of honesty that brought you to that place. God has something to say about our sin in whatever form it comes, big, small, private, public. And this process of refinement that God goes through with us never stops. And God's grace is big enough to walk through it with us as we wrestle. But this process of refinement requires us to be honest and be willing to see what God might be changing in us. And sometimes an honest reflection is really just a prayer away. It's a simple prayer of discovery. It's a prayer that I pray every day, maybe multiple times a day. And this prayer has literally changed my life. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 says this, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." Could you imagine what our world would be like if more people woke up in the morning and asked this question? Can you imagine what maybe your own life would look like if you made a daily habit to take this out of your toolbox and ask God to search your heart? Now, it's pretty easy to say, right? Search me, God. Know my heart. Wow, that sounds really spiritual. Good job. But here's the thing. Here's the most important thing, is that we listen for the answer. We need to listen for the answer. We can't just say it because it sounds good. When we say it, we have to be receptive and expectant that there's going to be some kind of answer. Of course, it may not be an audible response, but there's often times where God is leading us to somewhere, and you may just get a thought in your mind of, maybe God is trying to highlight this thing in my life. It could be good. It could be bad. I don't know. But when I ask God to search my heart, he shows me things, and I'm responsible for that once I hear it, right? But we have to be expectant that God is going to say something. Because if we really listen to what God is saying, we really listen for God's response to that question, God may bring some things to your mind. And it might be a person you need to forgive, who you've had trouble forgiving. Maybe it's a sin you need to repent of. Maybe it's a sacrifice God is calling you to make. And I don't know what that is. That's your business with God. But maybe God is just trying to remind you of who you really are. That people are not speaking life into you. In fact, they are speaking darkness into you. And God just wants to wrestle with you to remind you who you really are. Because here's the thing. The truth is God is always speaking. But we aren't always the best listeners. And so it's best to get alone. It's best to be honest if we want to wrestle well. Because being honest is the starting point of change. The next way we wrestle well is we must hold on. We must hold on. You know, something we see from Jacob in this story, we see this incredible endurance and persistence as he wrestled. In verse 24, the Bible says that he wrestled the man until daybreak. In other words, Jacob wrestled this man all night. Say all night. Everyone say all night. All night. All right, you're awake. I was just making sure. Just wipe the drool right there. Right, you got something right there. Jacob would not give up, right? He wrestled all night with this man. He would not give up. And the Bible says that the man had to touch his hip and dislocated it or injured it somehow. So Jacob was not only exhausted from wrestling all night, but he was injured. Yet we see that he held on. Look again at verse 26. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." You know, sometime during this wrestling match, it doesn't say when, but Jacob realized that this man he was wrestling was no ordinary man, that this was something special, that this was something different, that this wasn't just a matter of inconvenience in the moment of crisis, that this man was divine, that this man was God somehow. And so Jacob said, "I will not let you go." Jacob held on. He pursued God, and he was dead set on receiving a blessing from him. And when God begins something, you know, it may take some wrestling, it may take some struggle, it may be uncomfortable, but if it's God, there will be a blessing on the other side. Now, here's the thing. God's blessing isn't always a blessing as we see it or as the world sees it. It's a blessing on how God sees it. And so we are blessed when we bring glory to God by doing his will. And this blessing is worth every ounce of our energy and effort. Our relationship with God is worth our relentless pursuit. Like any relationship, it is going to be work. So we must decide, are we going to wrestle or are we going to walk away? Are we going to struggle or are we going to tap out? Do we stay where we are right now in the name of comfort, or do we wrestle on knowing that God is leading us somewhere new? My encouragement to you is, as you wrestle, is to hold on. Hold on tightly to God, even if it's uncomfortable. Even if it's going to take some endurance and persistence, and hold loosely to everything else. Hold on for the blessing. It won't always be easy or comfortable, but it will always, always be worth it. When God wrestled with Jacob, it was this means for his grace to be expressed. It was a channel for God to bless Jacob. It was an opportunity for God to transform Jacob. And that is the result of our wrestling. This is why we wrestle. Because when we wrestle with God, we are transformed by him. When we wrestle with God, we are transformed. It really does change us. Look again and see what happened to Jacob. Verse 27. The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." God gives Jacob this new identity. And this new identity is the result of the wrestling. Jacob goes from supplanter, deceiver, to Israel. He who wrestles with God. It's an identity rooted in God's blessing. You see, God is in the business of changing lives. He's in the business of transformation. And this business is not always easy or comfortable or popular, but it is the business of God. For those of you who are Christians, when you found faith in Jesus, you received a new identity. You became a child of God. You became a citizen of his kingdom, and you were made new in Jesus. And that is an incredible thing. But, and this is a big but, God does not stop there. Your transformation has really just begun. God is calling you and me to be more like Jesus every day. God is calling us to be transformed. And that is our mission statement here at the Vineyard, transforming ordinary people into extraordinary followers of Christ. We truly believe that God calls each and every believer to participate in faith day in and day out and play a part in what God is doing. Because faith is a daily activity. Faith is not just for the weekends. It's not just for Sunday. Faith is for every day. And so important that we engage with him in that way, not just on Sundays, but every single day. That's how God takes ordinary and he makes it extraordinary. The Apostle Paul lays this out pretty perfectly in Romans 12, 1 and 2. He says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Can you kind of hear the wrestling in there that we are all supposed to engage in? The bottom line is God wants to transform you. He wants to renew you so that you can be everything he is calling you to be, whatever that is. God is going to wrestle with you from time to time, and I want to say that it's not because he is angry. It's not because he's trying to get you to struggle necessarily, but it's because he's calling you to greater things, bigger and better things than you can ever imagine. You see, God knows what he is preparing for you next. You may not see it, but God does. You know, to follow up with our story, to finish that up, after Jacob's wrestling with God, Jacob was reunited with his brother Esau, and it turned out Esau had forgiven him, and Jacob was welcomed home. So we learn that God used Jacob's fear and distress in this moment of finding the end of himself to bring him to a place where he could be honest. And he was so desperate that he would hold on, and God can work with that. And so he transforms Jacob. He transforms him into taking Jacob from someone that really relied on himself to someone that fully relied on God. And I wonder if there are some people here today that need that push. Or maybe you're in a tough place right now, you're in a place of crisis, and God is engaging with some wrestling with you. Because my encouragement to you would be to wrestle on with God. Remember that God may not always change our circumstances, but he can change our outlook on our circumstances. And so wrestle well. Be honest and hold on and allow God to transform you. Would you stand with me? Can I have the ministry team please come down to the front, please? So this week, we are reintroducing something that has been gone for months and months now. We're going to have our ministry team down here at the front, and they're going to stand on these dots closest to the stage. We really are excited about this, that you can come down and receive prayer. I'd ask if you come down, there is a possibility that this area is going to fill up. So if you could just stand on the dots, and if the second dots are full, if you could just kind of line up in the aisles and use those dots as guides, we'd greatly appreciate that. But we really do believe that God is healing people still today, and that there is power in prayer. And so we would love for you to come down and receive a blessing or to receive prayer for anything. Now, as I tell you, I think every time I speak, I always ask God, I say, God, what do you have for the people today? What's the group you are talking to right now? And so what's coming to mind, what I've been thinking about and praying about and really feeling impressed by God on is two groups of people. One group of people is a group of people that are wrestling with God about their singleness. That this is something that they've battled with their whole life. Maybe they've been married and they're no longer, or they've always been single and they don't want to be. But it's been a struggle. It's been holding you back in your faith. It's, you know, once God gives me a spouse, then I can be what he wants me to be. Now, I'm not saying that God can't change your circumstance, but I'm sure that he wants to change your outlook on your circumstance. So I want to invite you to wrestle with him in that area. The other group that came to my mind as I was praying was a group that are suffering from infertility. You know, you've tried and tried, and it's become something where you felt disqualified because you're not able to have children for whatever reason. And again, God may change your circumstances. He might. He can. But I know that he wants to change your outlook on your circumstances. That he wants to speak life to you. That he wants to give you your true identity. And so if you're part of either of those groups, once I release the service, I'd love for you to come down and receive prayer from one of these ministry team members. If you'd like prayer for anything else, anything at all, I know that this group would love to pray for you. Would love to encourage you in every way. If you're a first-time guest here, we have a guest welcome that happens after the service out in the foyer. We'd love to meet with you and pass on some information. We have some pastors and leaders out there that would like to get to know you. Let's pray. Let's ask God to do what only he can. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, Lord, and we ask that you'd speak. And Lord, that your Holy Spirit would fall and that you would guide us. And Father, I don't know where everyone is right now, but you do. You know exactly where we are right now. And Lord, I pray that you bring us to a moment of honesty. A moment of honesty with ourselves and with you. And Lord, we hold on to you with everything we have as we wrestle through our troubles and our doubts, our times of crisis. Father, would you just continue to transform us to be more like Jesus every day? Would you help us to see through the noise of this world, through the noise around us? Would you help us to just get alone with you, truly spiritually alone with you, so we can truly engage in what you have for us? We thank you, Father, for today. We thank you for the ability to gather. And Lord, I ask that you just continue to transform us. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, have a great week. See you next time.